Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Oh my gosh, why we don't have my song transitioning to Sun is Going Down? I have no idea, but I probably can play that. Okay, let's do it. Hello, Ilona Europa, Accent on LA Talk Radio. Please, everybody can tune in right now to Channel 1. We are every Monday, 6 p.m. And, of course, life is good. Why is good? Because when I start my show, I probably push, like always, a different button than I'm not supposed to. But hey, now is everything right, and it's Monday, and I'm very, very happy to have my two wonderful friends in a studio with me. It's so cool. They all have an accent, and accents, you know, in a funky way. Obviously, I have Polish accent. I will never get rid of mine. And I have beautiful friend, Sheila Fain.
Hello.
Did I say right way because I have an accent?
No, it's fine.
Okay, fine or pain?
Fine.
I like fine even more because it's like fine, but how you spell your name?
F-E-I-N.
Wonderful. And I can just introduce you first and foremost as a good friend of more than 20 years probably. We know each other.
It's been a long, good ride.
But outside of that, you are a very accomplished artist, and we'll talk to you in a moment. And also I have in the studio another great artist who is my newest friend, but he's popping up on Accent On from time to time. But now we have you for a little bit longer than 30 minutes. You know, I cannot wait for people to know you better.
Thank you.
And myself too. And your name is Prescott Niles. That will be my way, but your way will be how?
Pretty much the same. In England, they would call me Prescott.
Prescott.
And I like thought it sounded too much like Triscuit or Biscuit.
Oh, but it's still.
So I had issues, but hearing our guests here speak, it reminds me that I am from Brooklyn, but I
that's
the
accent.
Kind of lost the accent.
Yeah, where is
the
freaking accent? We want the Brooklyn accent, whatever
it is. It's lost somewhere over the English Channel. I don't know.
Well, you are very talented. I cannot get rid of mine. And then Sheila. Sheila is still very gentle, but soon she will be talking a lot. And she has very New Yorker accent. Yes, Sheila?
It's here. It's Long Island.
Mine will return.
It can't. Yeah. Oh, yours will really come out now.
And you are in LA how long, Sheila?
Since 87.
And
so you got to do the
and
mail.
You, Prescott?
I first came here, I guess, in the early 70s, but then I ended up going back, went to Boston for a while, played in the group, then went to England for 2 years, came back to LA and decided that's where I should stay.
Staying. And obviously, I mentioned both of you are an artist, but in different capacity, in different ways. You are, Prescott, you are amazing bass player.
Thank you.
Outside of being amazing bass player, you are songwriter. You are poet.
Poet.
You say that you like philosophy and you are thinking almost too much, in my opinion, about everything. And you like to write books also?
I will. I kept journals through the years, and whether they're poems or fragments of day-to-day stuff, but I caught some of the more important moments.
You also?
And it's funny when you read them and you try to remember, you think you remember things, but when you read your journals, you realize you have no idea from the day-to-day, let alone other events that were just as important as the ones you think were important.
Yeah.
So that helped me connect to myself, and I realized that in this course of this traveling musical world I've been in, I still maintained who I was,
Beautiful, and beautiful.
Some of the innocence and wonder that I maintained, I don't know how, but...
Yeah, you are romantic, and I love that you really made point of it. You read before the show a few of your poems, and some of them are just very beautiful and just romantic. And you said, yeah, that's who I am. And you are also daddy. You are a father of three beautiful children. Then we have a lot of to
a
cover
of,
when it comes to your life.
A lot of love discussion.
A lot of love discussion, and obviously when it comes to Sheila Fain. She is, first and foremost, my friend of 20 years. She is an amazing painter.
Thank you.
And she's a book illustrator, which that's why we are here today, because this, I don't know if it's her first book, but the second is already cooking, and we need to know more about this. She's also mother of four amazing girls. Three of them I was teaching singing, and I was coaching them, and three of them are in entertainment business very, very deeply, and the fourth one is also an artist in some ways, but you and two of them are twins. That is crazy. I taught both of them singing. I had never idea who is coming for the lesson, and but boy, I love these girls. And we have something even sweeter to say about your two twins, because one of them is getting married on Friday, and I will be there. And then
end of the week. End of the week.
Yeah, life is just amazing, amazing. But let's start maybe, I would love to talk to Prescott first, even when Sheila is my 20 years old friend, and you are a new one. I just like you a lot. You always popped up. We found that we have some roots.
We met each other in the hallways.
In the hallways, and then you came to my show because Jeff Flora is our friend,
and I told you
I
loved Chopin, which started an interesting discussion.
And then we found out that you have some Polish roots.
Yes, I do. On my mom's side, yeah.
Yes, on mommy's side. And, of course, being a bass player, I am crazy about bass. You don't even know how much. My dream, we had in our company for many, many years, a gentleman who is very good bass player, a little bit younger than us. And I always thought that one day I will do whole album only with bass and songs. So nobody did this yet. And I think this is like heartbeat of music.
Heartbeat is a good way to put it, yeah.
Yes, and knowing and having you here and listening to your songs, listening to reading your life story, and now asking you for more, I want to ask you first question. How does this happen? Because loving baseball and then turning to be the best bass player is B and B, but different B's. Then how does this happen? Wow. And you are from New York, and now you are in L.A.,
yeah,
and then
Brooklyn,
you just give us from Brooklyn. Sorry, I would say. Well, sorry, New Yorkers, Brooklyn. Tell us, how does this happen?
Well, deciding not to be a baseball player and bass player, I just dropped the ball.
Oh, I like that.
I mean, the BB became a B. But, you know, growing up in Brooklyn, I had athletic talents. I loved baseball. The New York Yankees... I don't know what it was, but that was aspiring what I wanted to be in a way. And I was one of the best athletes on my block, which kept me out of trouble, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. I could run quick, defend myself with a bat if I had to. I grew up in a kind of Italian mixed neighborhood in Brooklyn, and, you know, one had to. I think a lot of my life lessons were learned in those schoolyards, you know, where it was fight or flight, really. But, you know, it's part of life. But the music scenes that started, obviously, with the Beatles, everybody always gives them credit. I loved the Beach Boys before. My mom always played AM pop radio. So I was growing up listening to Lloyd Price or Dion, who was a New Yorker. You know, I knew I loved music. I started to play guitar. Somebody had given me one, my cousin in Chicago. But I was just picking up chords and... after a trip to California in 65, we drove cross country. My dad was selling Lincolns, and he drove across country and came to LA, and it was like going from black and white to color. And the music was, you know, the music was just dominating everything. And I never knew I had the talent to just pick up a bass, which I did when I got back to New York, and I was in a group in 2 weeks. And I didn't want to play rhythm guitar because I thought it was boring. Lead guitar took too long to master. I really wanted to play drums, but I lived in an apartment in Brooklyn, and
ouch, yeah.
That certainly would have gotten me thrown out a window. And
you can run fast from the gun.
But I really love bass because of Motown, Stax music. Definitely. Of course, Paul McCartney and the Beatles, Joni Mitchell, The Who were some of my people I wanted to become, so to speak, as I grew up. But it was intoxicating.
Did you practice a lot? Because still, you say in 2 weeks practically, you came back, you picked up a chords, then you had your guitar, and then you had a band. You know, I believe that God gives us whoever gives us a talent, because me, if I will get bass, probably will take me many years and I still will play badly. Then, you know, something was about this instrument that was you.
Well, I think I heard it through the songs, you know, the Beatles songs and Motown songs, and I like the Beach Boys as well. There's a lot of things going on, even the Four Seasons.
But you heard bass. You didn't hear
it. Well, I heard the bass, but the thing was, the bass is what appealed to me in a different way than I perceived it. And when I started to play it, I mean, I'm still practice every day after playing for how many years, because it's still finding out that whatever that secret rhythm thing, the drummers, I play drums as well. I play drums now too.
Wow.
I play guitar and I play classical piano, so I've expanded my repertoire.
Oh, wow. And it's so sad because your guitar, which we'll talk a little bit about, your special guitar, I would love to see this guitar. Your daddy gave it to you, and you have this guitar in studio with us, but we cannot plug in because we don't have
amplifier. That's on Jeff's show. We can do that.
Then everybody in 2 hours, Jeff Floro has his show. And he's back. He was 2 weeks, I think, out. But my gosh, what a show he has! And he brings the best guitarist.
He's wonderful, and
he's our friend. And you know, that's how I met you. And I wish I have the guitar and the sound of your guitar with you here on my studio.
We're gonna have to hear it on MP3.
And so that's what we're doing. Leading to that.
Let me go back for 1 second. The baseball thing. I did have a scholarship to play. I could have gone to CW Post and.
Well,
oh my gosh, obvious every road leads to.
But as I started, you know, I realized it's like the competition, playing shortstop. You know, as you get older, you may be the best kid in your neighborhood, but then you're dealing with the best kids of everybody's neighborhoods. And the music, the color, the smell, I started to go to Fillmore East when I was 15. And just all the bands that were hot in California and New York would come, and it was, you can't explain it. It's a renaissance for me personally, and the girls, of course, the fashion, everything was just buzzing. As you know, in Europe as well, in England was a place, but New York is a good place to experience these things. And it was no way I can go back to the straight life, I think, if you want to put it that way. I wasn't a square, even though athletics was kind of square, but music, and I realized I had a talent that I never, it was not in my family, but it was maybe the way I walked.
You were just chosen. And one thing which we need to mention, because we all have our moment of greatness, and I think yours was when you started to play for the Knox, band. And I really want to play song that everybody knows. Even yesterday I was playing your song, and my daughter, who is 23, she's like, oh my gosh, I love the song. It was on a commercial. She knows she knows why. You know, then maybe you tell the title of the song.
Well, I will, but it's always a thrill to be in Trader Joe's or Walmart, and you walk in through and you hear it on the speakers, and I'm not sure what kind of... it's kind of nice to be part of the culture, but
Mr. Prescott Niles, please. But anyway, tell the title of the song.
The name of the song is about a girl, even though people still ask me what it's My Sharona.
Let's play My Sharona.
My motor up,
the energy the song has and will have forever.
Yeah, and we cut out a couple of minutes with the epic guitar solo, but radio time out. Is precious time.
I know, and we have three more songs that we would love to play. We'll be fading out some of them. I will be crying, but obviously you will be back because we cannot cover all your life in 30 minutes interview.
No.
That's for sure. But you know what I love? Where is now a place for the real good instrumental break? It drives me crazy because this song has it. We really, musicians had the time to really show off their own talents, and now he's like, no.
Well, there's a lot to say, even though we were, you know, kind of like pop new wave style. The musicianship in the Knack was the best band I've ever played with. Bruce Gary, he had played with Jack Bruce in London, but it's a long story how we got together because we played and then we didn't play together. He went away. I came back from England to play with him with somebody, and he went back to England. So anyway, he called me one day and said, he's working with Burton and Doug and thought I'd be the perfect bass player. You know, I could kind of look like McCartney at that time and play like John Entwistle. So it seemed like a perfect match. But the first rehearsal, and then we did our first show at the Whiskey a little bit later. I mean, this was not a group that was, you know, some people hear stories like we were hyped before the band became the band, or you know, it was a careful marketing campaign. We just got together, and the magic was there. And Burton was a brilliant guitarist. We can jam. We go off on jams when Doug would break a string, and we could play Hendrix. We could do bebop. We can do anything. Doug was a great singer, rhythm guitarist, but Burton and Bruce were the best musicians I've worked with, and we learned from each other. And I got much better as a bass player working with Bruce.
As a band, how long did you play as a band?
Well, we just started. I mean, we started in 78. Our first show was the Whiskey on June 1st. My Sharona, Selfish, and some of the other songs really were written while the band was performing. Mm-hmm. I always say to people, you know, it's great when you have some songs, but try them out live. I tell my kids that all the time. Try them out live before you see how they work live. Maybe you'll rewrite
that
it
is
in
smart.
Something. But Sharona came about maybe into the band maybe 3 or 4 months. And we were playing it, became a featured song in the set. Sometimes it'd be an encore, sometimes not. Back in those days, too, we'd do 2 sets a night in clubs. So that's also a way to figure out what songs
what
work
people
and
like,
not work. It started to get attention. Part of the Knack's, I think, appeal in the Troubadour, Starwood, Whiskey days was the fact people would get up and jam with us. And we had the real pleasure and privilege to have Eddie Money play with us at the Starwood. We did 2 Tickets to Paradise. Tom Petty played with us. We did Mona, Not Fade Away at Troubadour. He kicked over people's drinks on those tables. Tom was great. And God knows, we all miss him. And that's really sad.
I have a little break here because stars always align in cool way because we have always Sheila here, and we have something in common. Her 2 children were in a video with Tommy Petty.
Then so we'll put a bookmark here.
I know, you know, it's just why we met, but really, it's some connections here. You were playing with the biggest, the most wonderful artist in the world.
One more. I gotta cap this off. Well, Steve Stills jammed with us as well, wanted to produce us. Ray Manzarek from The Doors. These are all separate times. But the biggest thing, I think, was Bruce Springsteen. Getting up on stage and jamming. And the great thing was, it was a jam. It was, people were more in those days would get up and jam, and it was the excitement of playing a song with him or with Ray Manzarek doing a Door song. Anyway, that was part of our musical respect and legacy in L.A. before the album came out. And now we will turn to you.
Only for this moment, if you can tell us on your babies, your 2 twins were in a video with Tom Petty.
Yeah, it was, they were a lot younger, and I know that I showed up on set with them, and, you know, they said I should be in it also, and it was a diner scene. It was swinging. So when with all the angels and like the most amazing video ever.
Sheila, you were too. I cannot find you on this video.
I have a moment.
But you need to show me because I reposted when I saw that with my students, and I was teaching them singing. Now I know Tom Petty, of course. We are so sorry. he passed away. But that was the cuteness, because we have something in common, and both of you are from, obviously, you know, Brooklyn, and you know, we are from,
well, I think Queens.
Queens, okay.
New York. I go to Queens, Forest Hills, and Flushing.
I'm sure
I was only
we'll
born
find
in Floral Park. I don't know anything to Long Island.
I'm sure you know each other, some people together.
There was a girl in Flushing. Uh-oh. Okay.
Okay, but now we have another song. Of course, we cannot talk music without playing music. Then I know you are the songwriter. Maybe this is not the song number two that you want me to play. Right. But this song is great, and you said supposed to be a single on it.
Well, I'll give you a quick thing about this song. I had written, actually, it was a movie being done called That Thing You Do. And I had heard a music supervisor was looking for a song, so I had submitted it with my friend Bill Hudson. He's from the Hudson Brothers. Well, and he was a good friend. We were writing some songs together, and coincidentally, his son plays in the band with my kids.
Oh my gosh,
they've all known each other.
I love it.
But anyway, so I submitted it was too late for the song to be included in the movie. So I brought it to rehearsal one day, and it seemed to fit our album. The album called Zoom in 99 was a comeback album. And called Harder on You, which is usually about a relationship, as most songs are about. And we did a little different than I demoed it, but it got a lot of attention, and I was hopefully it would have been released as a single, but Rhino Records didn't quite know how to break a new album. They were dealing with old anyway, so the song ended up not being what it was supposed to be.
Come on.
But I'm proud of it, and I'm glad we got it done.
Okay, let's play the song, of course, Fragment, but I cannot not play this one. I love it. And you wrote this one.
You know it's gonna be hard on me feeling the way that I do. I know it's gonna be harder on you. It's that girl.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, that wasn't fade out, but I love this song. Honestly, I really, really love this song.
It's
a throwback of the 1960s, but it's
It has some of that pop appeal. Thank you. And the drummer, that album was done, Bruce Gary had left the band, original drummer, and since I'm playing with Missing Persons now, without the drummer, Terry Bozzio, that was Terry Bozzio on that album who played with us, and that was an honor as well. But thank you. I
love it.
Enjoy.
I love it.
And we did it live as well. So that gave me a lot of satisfaction on a personal level because...
What about the Rocket of Love? Rocket of Love,
Rocket of Love. Well, that's definitely a Doug song.
Okay, he's part
of
the
He used a lot of sexual metaphors.
Oh!
Allergies or whatever you want. Allegros in his lyrics. But and again, that song, we did that with Don Was. It was an album we did called Serious Fun. That actually became an FM... top 10. We were supposed to cross over to AM. We didn't do it. The video came out too late, unfortunately, like the rest of my career. our TV and media. But the song did get a lot of play, got us back in the map. We did a tour, and it's one of my favorite songs from that middle era.
Okay, let's play a little bit.
A little bit.
Music is so good, so tight, and obviously, you know, this is the era, is the sound, of course, that everybody loves still.
We
so
changed
much.
The sound. We got a little heavier, Doug got longer Rocket. Hair extensions. And we went in a different direction, but Don West produced it, and he's a friend of Doug from Detroit. Don's a great producer, and it was a lot of fun doing it, and I think if the record company we went with at the time... would have lasted a little longer, we might have had a little more success with it. But a lot of people remember that song, and yeah. I think it's a well-produced and well-written song.
Very tight, very cool.
And even though the metaphor of rocket of love, it's rock and roll, isn't it?
You can call what you want.
We can call it whatever. Want.
Okay, now then we have the song number 4
okay.
that is called Good Girls. Don't.
May I digress?
Yes.
Or regress.
You can
depends
do whatever.
Depends if I'm a shrink or not. I'd regress. But when we talk, we can digress. Good Girls Don't was written by Doug and Burton before the Knack formally got back together. They demoed it and sent it to Capitol Records, and they passed on it. Hmm. Interesting. When the band played it and probably put a new spin on it, it was part of the album, Get the Knack, and was our second hit. Now, very quickly, when Capitol got the album, when we finished it, they didn't know what single to release, believe it or not. Mike Chapman, who produced us, I love Mike, and I always give him credit for when he heard us and we started recording. By the way, Sharona was done pretty much in one take. Hmm. So instead of one hit wonders, which I despise, we were one take wonders.
Amazing.
Which to me is more important as music.
Amazing.
But Mike said that's a number one hit. So I had no idea. I mean, that was Chinese to me to say that. But as it turned out, he was right. So the album went to radio. We were in Europe at the time. And it became the most requested song on the album in America, My Sharona. So the Capitol had a rush release the single. So the album became number one first, and then My Sharona became number one as a single. Good Girls Don't was released after, and it was a top 10 hit. I think it's a great song as well. Sharona has more of a mystery and kind of dwarfed everything else we've ever done as the Knack, unfortunately. We'll get to that later. But Good Girls Don't is a great song. It's been used in a couple of movies, and people like that very much. You could do the twist to it.
Wow. Okay. Oh, I'm so happy we can just listen to you and know
so
the story
exciting.
Behind the song.
I love it.
Okay, it's very, very cool. Good Girls.
She's your adolescent dream. Schoolboy stuff, a sticky sweet romance. And she makes you wanna scream. Wishing you could get inside her pants. So you fantasize away while you're squeezing her. You thought you heard her saying, good girls don't. Good girls don't. I should be telling you, good girls don't. But I do. So you call her on the phone to talk about the teachers that you hate.
she says she's all alone, and her parents won't be coming home till late.
I know my ears try to pick up on your finger.
I'm doing some surf bass line. Okay, a couple of things about that song. It's very funny that at that time some critics and some people thought we were misogynists, because the lyric, believe it or not, in that time might have been a bit a little sensually revealing. One of those lines, the last line you heard when she's sitting on my blank,
okay,
that was actually edited in Canada, and they took that out, that lyric. Now, it's very tame compared to stuff today.
Yeah, right.
When Doug sang that song, he always says he was trying to sing like Johnny Cash, which is interesting. It's kind of that lower register. It's a tongue-in-cheek song. The harmonica playing was kind of John Lennon-ish.
Of course.
And it's a great song, and the drumming, Bruce was the best drummer I've ever played with, and his drumming is fantastic. And that song was, it's always a fun song to play, completely different than Sharona.
Yeah, all of the songs, even when they have this sound very tight and recognizable as a sound of the band, but really the songs are different, completely different, and they are just...
Well, one thing, I just before I forget about my Sharona, when I saw it, there was a documentary about disco recently that came out maybe a couple of years ago. I saw it maybe within the last year, but people have been talking about it. So the Knack has the dubious distinction of killing disco.
You, all your band did this to all the disco balls and green
hair. Yeah. Well, we
neon
didn't
lights.
Do it. But it's funny because the charts were pretty. Donna Summer, who I love a lot of the songs as well, but that was the first pop single to really hit number one. And I was trying to fathom that because the new wave music started, which was fantastic. Blondie and God knows all the great, the Cars and Talking Heads, everybody. It was a breakout. And I thought about it. Part of the reason the song was a biggest success, not only because it had a great hook, but every time the song's played, people dance. So it's funny because the rhythm of that track it doesn't have to be called disco to dance to or R&B to dance to. It was a dance song with a pop melody and pop guitar lines and everything. So I think that added to the appeal of the song. And
yes, you start a different fire.
And then really quick, my Sharona. Now, some people even to this day ask me what a Sharona is.
Yeah.
Which, if you can believe that, and I've done not in weak things where I go, do you really want to know what Sharona is? Well, I'm not carrying one, but if I did, because Sharona is just it's a Hebrew name, Israeli name for Sharon.
Interesting.
It's nothing more, nothing less, but people sometimes don't, they still ask, what is it about?
We know.
It's a guy and a girl. I mean, and Doug was in love with her and in lust with her at the same time. And she had a boyfriend, and she was true to her boyfriend until we were number one. And as synchronicity would have it, they got together in Hawaii, and they were a loving couple for a while. Didn't end up to be the romance or the marriage or anything, but she's very cool. And now she's a real estate salesman and a mother of a couple of children and cancer survivor. And I have a lot of respect for her, and she's a wonderful person.
And she's got that moment.
Yeah, wonderful.
She had that moment in Oprah Winfrey, too. Yeah.
Oh, we are just talking
to Prescott Niles,
bassist from the Knack.
I just wish my Sharona didn't define. In other words, it became so big that it was impossible to not outdo it. But
just say good, you're lucky one, no complaining, and we are very happy the song will stay with us forever
So. As long as I can hear it in those stores, I'm okay.
We'll come back early because I would love to end our show with you reading one of your poems. But right now we have, of course, Sheila's here. And Sheila, Oh my gosh, you brought to the studio your book, a book that you illustrated. You know, you are a painter, but could you tell us the story about this one and the new one?
Okay, it's definitely a segue. I have been so enjoying being here. It's like been amazing. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
We share a lot.
Yeah, so. Okay.
What is the title of the book?
So I am going to just give you some information.
Yes.
Okay.
Christmas is coming. Everybody's buying this book, please. On Amazon available, yes?
Yeah, it's Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Wonderful.
Okay.
I want a story behind that because it's unusual. We have some accented people writing together, you know?
Okay, well, I got acquainted with the publishing company McLaren Crokin, and she paired me, this woman Tanya, who is not only the publisher, but she's and the art director, but she's an amazing writer and illustrator on her own, and she paired me with Myra Caldani from Brussels, who has dozens of books out and everything. And so they chose me to do Mama Graciela's Secret, which is a story that takes place in Puerto Rico and in a little tiny shack called La Bahia. And Mama Graciela and her husband sell amazing bacalitos for a living. And she also was feeding a lot of stray cats who would come to her by the thousands. So it's a cat book. Come to her by the thousands because she was so hospitable and loved animals so much. And till the health inspector comes by, it's a kid's book, but it's a lot of adult lessons in it too. And to know more about it, you're going to have to buy the book, Mama Graciela's Secret.
When I saw you wrote about releasing this book and I saw illustrations, I knew it's like the perfect fit because you're a very unusual painter. You have very serious paintings, but some of them, they're just so sweet, so cute. And when I see them, I just smile because they belong
I'm
to youth. Yes, whimsical,
whimsical,
very beautiful. He's like so perfect. When I saw this, I'm like, I need to be on the show. Even this week is the most crazy week of your life because your daughter, Amanda, is getting married. You still found the time to come to us. Bravo.
Thank you. Well, the universe said, that's
do it.
You're an artist and you got to come back in. So
then we need to say hi, special to you, to writer and publishers. Her name is
Myra Calvani.
And she's originally living in Brussels, yes?
Yeah,
in Belgium.
And she's going to be going on a book tour starting with this book, Mama Graciela's Secret, starting December 1st with the Enchanted Book Tours.
But so, she will be here in America or
no,
Europe?
No, I
Europe.
Think that, you know, I'm here promoting in America and I think she's there.
But we know the books like that. And I'm sure, Prescott, you know, because you have three children, we had no time talking, but you'll be back. We'll be number two our interview. And that finding book the child wants to look and not this one painting to illustration is so many details. And it's like you build your own story looking at the book. And this book, who is illustrated by you is like that. You every page has so many cuteness going on that it's not like, oh, Mama read me, you know, the few lines is over. No, it's like over. You want
no,
to discover
a
stuff.
Kid can definitely,
so cute.
Yeah.
Love it. People, go on my Facebook page, of course, Accent On, and I posted the tiny book and picture of it. And go to Amazon if you want to buy something unusual, very Euro and very America together. And now we have Accent On that promoting this book as the first in America, hopefully. Then it's exciting. Then, but now you have something else going on.
I'm also working with an amazing woman, Robin Flans, and we're finishing a book together. And it's and she does on the internet and everything. Robin Flans drummer interviews, and her last interview was with Ringo Starr.
It's amazing.
So
I cannot wait to have her on my show.
I know because she wrote in the past for Rolling Stone, People magazine, and this is her first. Like she's written four music books, but this is her first children's book, and we're doing it together.
Lovely.
And it's called.
We need to meet her.
Yes.
Something good
I
will happen because
her.
Of this day. We'll bring her and all of us together, and something good will happen because of this meeting, for sure. What is the? Do you know a title already? Do you know what we can find out more? You have some notes. You can just read them.
Yeah, it's Phuket. I do take notes. It's Pookie and Dookie Become Friends, and it's a book about bullying. It's about her, I think it's, how do you pronounce it? Guinea pig? Yeah. And her boxer, and they're very different. So yeah. It's kind of really what happens.
Visual, we can see it already.
In a short, really good written, you know, story about being different, and then because you weather your friendship, it teaches other people how to come out and for them to be friends too.
Yeah. So, and for you, the twist, because like I said, you are an amazing painter and you have so many different styles, but the whimsical is one that I'm just smiling, and I had you on both of my shows before and on the Best of Poland and Europe, which we were doing on the cameras, and I had the chance to show some of your paintings. But if you can describe, because you are a very well-educated painter, you know, you finished school. What school did you
go to? Actually, I went to Buffalo State. Okay. You know, it was a time when it was just like, you know, I had all these different schools, Rhode Island School of Design and all these other schools, but I was footing the bill, paying myself, and I did and went to where my pocketbook could afford.
Wonderful.
So I was.
Then, if you describe yourself as a painter, what do you tell us?
You know, it's right now, which is kind of like this book is very, very dear to me, and I created it all digitally. So it was just amazing to output this in color, what I was doing digitally. But on a day-to-day basis, I run a lot of figurative drawing workshops. I've got my imagining sketch out at my studio, and I've been running people sketchers, you know, with a partner for years. So I hire all these different LA models. So it's kind of like I'm working with oil pastels on cardboard. Mm. And I had a show. I had my single show for like 3 months at the Cornell Winery.
I was there.
And then I had that flip side show, that very whimsical,
yes,
with my colored pencils and my fantasy pop work.
Just lovely. You are so romantic too. And you are a dreamer. And I just love you as a mother, you as a mother of three of my students, which one, like I said, Amanda, one of the twins, will be married on Friday. Happy life to both of you. And like my daughter said, we are so lucky to know which of girls is which, because one of them will be having white dress, and now we know this is Amanda.
But
we
have going to have redder hair too.
Oh, okay.
We're going to be good on that.
Just lovely then. Yeah.
May I jump in for a second?
Yes, please.
The fact that you're holding a book.
Yeah.
One of my fondest memories, I think, for all my children was those nights you sit in bed with them and read. I'm not going to get into the, I like books, I don't like tablets. And I think holding a book,
absolutely,
the smell, the physicality of it, just, I've still got some of my children's books in storage. And when I pull it, you know, they're just books. But even when I took one out, this Batman book from my son Gabe, it didn't matter. He picked it up and it took him right back.
Absolutely.
And children's books, not only, I mean, they're wonderful, but I think they're needed. I think if parents, I'm not making a criticism, I think if a lot of parents took more, just laid in bed,
absolutely,
and read a book to your child and just got that moment, it means the world.
Because really what happens is, it's like, you know, in listening to you before on your creativity and how you write your songs, you know, it does. It's kind of like you lay in bed, or you're kind of, you drift off, you're in a waking dream, and then lyrics or pictures and everything kind of just kind of goes by you, and then a phrase comes and you write it.
Right.
You know.
Oh my gosh, we are getting closer to your poems.
I want to hear his poems.
We want the poems.
Real quick, any of our children, those are the moments, are the secure moments, because just before you're going to bed, and the child can, you know, my kids sometimes, well, you got to sleep already, you know, it's 2 a.m, but just the fact that it's that security in that moment, whether you're there and you help lull them to sleep, is I'm glad I was able to be part of it for all three of my kids.
I know that I need to mention
parent.
That three
absolutely,
that your children are in band together. Yes, and what is the name of the band?
Oh, they have a band called Gateway Drugs. Not that it's endorsing it, nor it's one of those abstract names that
wonderful.
And Gateway Drugs, I mean, it's doors of perception, meaning gateway drug is what gets you into sound or visual or art. You know, I'm just giving my spin.
I promise they will come here. We'll be listening to
the
music.
And I want them to be sold at Walmart someday.
Poem. Give us a poem, because this time it drives me crazy. Time goes so fast. And please read us something romantic.
How about that one you showed me?
But I can't because now I've got so little time.
Okay.
I'm gonna go somewhere else. There's a song, Looking for Answers, because we're all looking for answers. I am a romantic, but I also have a deep faith. And my faith is what got me through the tempestuous, swirling storms of life and gave me solidarity to get through it and something I can lean on. So anyway, this is called Looking for Answers. And this is not edited. This is just coming from my heart. Okay, here we go. Children.
Listening.
I'm looking for answers to questions never found on late night excursions in search of hallowed ground. Peaceful intentions is the only way to cope with the violent vanities that try to seduce my diminishing hope. All paths lead to somewhere if you just venture on the road and cast your bread upon the waters, trusting God to help carry the load. Of what is seen and unseen, relationships that are left undone, forgiveness that never was offered, even heroism soon forgotten and unsung. So what is left for this man in life's reflective mirror, whose ill fortunes have pushed hope to the ledge, on a precipice of disillusions, whose soul like a razor's edge, warring with vaporous vanities and betrayals too frequent to enumerate, losing what's left of any innocence after being smoked as an existential cigarette.
Beautiful. Ilona Europa, Faith. Especially for you.
It's a beautiful segue.
Especially you. I'm so happy.
Song.
I love this song. You know, I still didn't release this one officially on any album. And I don't know, something beautiful happened when it comes to music. We will work together on even one song. This is my dream.
I will make a point of that.
And
yes.
I cannot wait. And the same, I want to add Jeff to another song, because he already won, arranged beautifully and played guitars. And it's just something. The older we are getting and younger we are getting in the same
very
way.
Well put.
I think the friendships and picking humans that you want to work with and have the rest of your life, like intertwined life story, that's for me means everything to me right now. I just am not looking for strangers or different things. I look for familiar stuff. I want to know anything that I will create that will have story behind and reason. Then I think you are one of the reasons that I really want to work with on one song that would be bass oriented.
Well,
so much.
Right, stop at one.
No, we'll start, because you can say give you a deal. I hate her. And but
I give you a 2-for-1 deal.
I love it, but I know. you like this song before I played once, Faith, and you said, "Oh, I like it." Then that's anyway today. 6:50. We're supposed to end our show in 2-3 minutes. Then I will one more time tell that in the studio I have two wonderful friends. One is 20 years old friend with me, the new one, Mr. Prescott, you are my new friend, and friend forever, and your bass is a heartbeat. And we have Jeff, Laura coming through. Yes, what a beautiful another friend. But if we can find you somewhere, people, how we can find you, my guests, where we can go to look for contact with you when it comes to your Prescott?
Find me at Trader Joe's, aisle 4.
Yeah, no. Oh,
no,
listen
no,
to your
no.
music.
You can find, I mean, there's a knack.com website. I mean, I am allegedly on Facebook. I don't tweet because I don't have the time to deal with it. I will say, as far as musically, I am playing with Missing Persons quite a bit. I'm playing with somebody named Mickey Free, who I've played with before. He's had some great success. And the Classic Rock All-Stars on occasion. I'm my kids' band when they do shows. I'm their roadie. That's
a very so sweet
honor.
I just love it.
And I'm involved in a lot of recording with different people, music libraries, you know, writing songs. And hopefully I will have an album out and a book out in journal, poetry, and wishing and hoping, you know, all that.
Wonderful. And when it comes to you, Sheila, how we can find you?
I think you should just find me on Instagram at Sheila Fine.
Could you spell your name again? Yeah.
S-H-E-I-L-A-F-E-I-N. I throw up all of my figurative work and stuff with my books and everything. So you could just kind of just read my mind.
We will.
I'm on Facebook also, but
yes, you are.
I'm enjoying.
And
Instagram.
Title of the book that we are talking about today and is ready. You have only one copy. Then
I do.
Yes,
okay.
But people can purchase on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. It's charming. It's beautiful. Oh my gosh, I flip through every page and I love it. Why I don't have a children? Okay, title.
Mama Graciela's Secret. And I think there's also right now, if you go to the publisher, I think it's MCP20. If you put that up, it's like a 20% off. So
oh, cool.
McLaren Cochrane.
Yeah, you put this on
publishing.
Your Facebook.
Yeah, you can
find
it.
And then people will find this too.
Yeah.
But for right now, I just... Happy Thanksgiving, my beautiful guests.
Well, this is wonderful
you
being
too.
Here for the holiday and gracious. And let's hope we can do number two.
We will, because I know you have more songs. And maybe we'll pick some of them that we played and will be the full version instead of...
And then
you
know, we can talk about
minutes.
Chopin, who for some reason I have an affinity with. And that's where classical music... I mean, a kid from Brooklyn never cared a darn about classical music. But as I traveled, and I mean, that's my nighttime movies.
Music. Oh boy.
I play music, close my eyes, and I have the wildest dreams.
Wow.
Excellent.
I just read not long ago that Frédéric Chopin, when he died, he asked to carve his heart out and bring to Warsaw. And then he's in Warsaw, but his heart is buried in special place in Warsaw. But my gosh, his love for Poland was so big. He died very early, but, you know, he was...
Early, yeah.
Not in Poland when he died.
A lot of good artists died early. Those are the years. And
I don't know. We came back all right now talking about my country. I miss my country, but I love America. And I know that travels are very important for everybody. And you, Prescott, you travel a lot. And Sheila... Good luck to your whole family on Friday on a wedding, and maybe
you
tell
congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, and good luck, and thank you so much for today.
Magical night.
And till next Monday.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.